Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Once again, we visit another of our small towns in Harrelson County, Georgia, and we'll visit again with our friends and season sponsors at the Greater Harrelson County Chamber of Commerce. Today, we visit the smallest of the small towns in Harrelson County that is as relaxed as the porch swings that hang out in front of their city hall. And we talk to the city clerk who started life elsewhere in Metro Atlanta, but chose to settle here for the peace and quiet that a small town like this provides. We're going to go talk with City Clerk Kimberly Edwards in the small town of Waco, Georgia. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia.
Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. When looking around for your next small town adventure, you should consider Harrelson County, Georgia. With four small towns, each with their own unique character, Harrelson County has all the charm and warmth of a rural community. Located just 1 hour from the heart of Atlanta, Harrelson County also offers access to the amenities of the big city. In Harrelson County, Georgia, you can enjoy taking a brisk walk among historic homes, eating lunch at one-of-a-kind restaurants, shopping for unique products lovingly curated by one of many local entrepreneurs. And the recreational opportunities are endless, including leisurely floats down the Tallapoosa River and attending some of the many outdoor festivals. Make plans to visit Harrelson County, Georgia today, and you just may decide to stay. For more information, visit harrelson.org. That's HARALSON.org. Harrelson County. You're a one-hour drive to a nonstop flight to anywhere in the world, but once you're here, you might not want to go anywhere else. All right. I'm now sitting in the Harrelson County Chamber of Commerce conference room, which is actually in the same town that we're talking about today, Waco, Georgia. And interestingly enough, we're not at City Hall because City Hall in Waco is closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. And today happens to be a Monday that we're recording. I'm sitting with the city clerk of Waco, Georgia, Ms. Kimberly Edwards. Thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Mr. Mayor, welcome to Waco, Georgia.
Thank you so much. I got a chance to drive through town. I did not get to stop at City Hall. I have to go back and get my City Hall selfie. And so saw the you have, I think it's five or six kind of porch swings, but they're out in the front yard. So I actually hear that those get used quite often. I was talking to somebody earlier today. Looking forward to getting to talk about Waco. And you've already told me a little bit about some of the festivals and everything. Very small town. So that means that's where the best festivals are. But before we talk about Waco, I'd like to talk about the city clerk of Waco. That's you. So I'll start with the same question I ask all my guests to start out with.
Sure.
Where are you born in Waco, Georgia?
I was not born in Waco, Georgia.
And where were you born? Where did you start?
I was born in Atlanta. And then I lived, actually, when I was a small child, in Dallas, Georgia.
Now, are you saying Atlanta like Atlanta proper? Because a lot of people say Atlanta, but they really mean like Metro Atlanta. It's one of the suburbs.
Atlanta proper.
Okay.
And yes, and then lived in Dallas, Georgia. That's where my grandparents were from, around Rose's Store, Yorkville area. Mm-hmm. And then lived in Cumming, Georgia, Lake Lanier.
Okay.
Lived in Snellville, Georgia, around Stone Mountain.
You kind of made the round. You start Atlanta.
Yes.
And then you just kind of moved. It sounds like you started out towards, I guess that's the west side, and then moved around to the north,
exactly.
Northeast side, if I've got my geography right.
And then moved back to this area. I actually went to the University of West Georgia.
Okay. That's just in Carrollton, right?
Carrollton.
Just one county over from where we are.
One county over. And then when I graduated with my undergraduate degree, I started actually teaching for the technical college.
Okay.
So I was the first full-time adult education teacher for Harrelson County technical college.
When you went to West Georgia University, in Carrollton, is it West Georgia College University?
It was West Georgia College when I graduated
They've changed it to university.
Yes.
Did you get a degree in education or did you get a degree in?
English.
Okay.
And then secondary education.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you went on to do that.
Then I went and got my master's degree at the University of West Georgia when it changed over to university.
Okay. So you do have a degree from both that way.
Yes. Isn't that neat?
You got it covered. And would you say that master's was in?
Secondary education.
Okay. All right. Still same track.
Same track. Yes.
And so, and that's how you ended up in Harrelson County?
That's how I ended up in Harrelson County.
Okay.
We built a house in Waco.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
A long time ago. And we've been in Waco ever since. But after I taught and when I had children, I decided to work part-time. And I was the director of the Certified Literate Community Program for Harrelson County for a short period of time. And then I got into real estate. And then I was recruited a little bit to be the city clerk when the city clerk retired.
Okay.
So you,
if I understand correct, you still do some real estate.
I still do real estate.
You got a little bit of time because, as we said already, City Hall is not open 40 hours a week. What are the hours?
We're here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but full day on those days?
Yes, okay. 8 to 5.
So that makes city clerk a part-time job as far as the pay. But I bet you get asked to do things on Mondays and Tuesdays, like, I don't know, do a podcast interview.
Yes. And we have our council meetings on Monday evenings.
Okay. So you still have to come in once a month on Mondays, no matter what.
So we are accessible other days.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just maybe not in the office full
time.
Have
to be. Let me ask this, because, I mean, you just kind of gave us your rotation around the metro Atlanta area growing up and everything, and then, went to university here, or college, sorry,
yes.
The first time, close to here. So what was it that either kept you in the area, especially since you decided to buy a house in Waco, if you're working in Carrollton, which is not a booming metropolis, but much bigger than Waco, what was it that kind of drew you to this area as far as rural areas in general, but then Waco specifically?
Sure. Well, I actually worked in Harrelson County for my job, even though at the time I started, the technical college was located in Carroll County.
Mm-hmm.
I went to different locations like the high school and the libraries and did classes there in Harrelson County.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a convenient location for us, and we actually bought property out here to start with. So it was nice to be, super convenient. I mean, we're right here at I-20 and Highway 78, so it's convenient to anywhere you would want to go. But you're still a small town in a nice area. You know a lot of your neighbors and, a lot of people who stay here all their lives, are happy with that small town community, but convenience to larger areas, to anything else you might need.
Right. Because, you're not far from, the metropolitan Atlanta area.
Right.
So, but do you ever, since you were born there, you grew up closer into there, ever have any thoughts about, well, maybe we should live even closer to the big city, or is this about as far as you want?
Not really, honestly. We raised our children here, and we've been happy. So we've not really missed any of the conveniences that you might find in a larger area because, we're able to be close enough that we could go if we wanted to.
I want to ask you, because this is like I told you when we sat down to start setting up. I've interviewed some people other than mayors or council members, the appointed officials, but you're my first city clerk.
Oh, goody. Yes.
We got a city administrator,
yes.
A police chief, a fire chief, a city attorney once. But first clerk. So I know there's every position's going to be slightly different because every city's slightly different. And obviously small towns and big cities are going to have a lot of variation. But describe for people that just have no clue, what does the city clerk do? They might not even know that when they walk in that they're talking to the city clerk if they're in their own city hall. Or if they're in a bigger place, they may not see who the city clerk is because there's so many other people doing so many other roles. I imagine you wear many hats, but we give it one title. So just describe for people what your job in entails on a day-to-day basis in the city.
Well, basically, even though Waco is a small city, we have to do everything the bigger cities do.
Yep.
So we actually do the utilities. We bill for the utilities and everything. We do elections, city elections. We do collect city taxes. We do all the council meetings and things that any other city government would have to do. So because Waco is a smaller city, I get to do all of that.
There's not a separate person for each of those things you just named?
No. So larger cities, there's more of a division of duties.
You actually said two things that maybe people think that someone at the county level does. They thought about it. You collect taxes.
Correct.
There's a tax commissioner in every county in the state of Georgia. All 159 of them have a tax commissioner, but a lot of cities still collect their own taxes. And then the other thing you said was you manage the elections. And several
in the city.
Yeah, for municipal elections, right?
Right.
So there's a county elections board in all the counties, and some of them actually in Osceola, we do collect our own taxes, send out the bills and collect the taxes, but the elections actually contract out to Irwin County. But in Waco, as small as you are, you still do your own. I guess there's not as many voters to deal with.
That is true, and I will say the county helps us tremendously.
Yeah.
If they have an election, they will let us join with their ballot.
They'll just put that one thing on the ballot.
Yes.
But I imagine if you're like most municipalities in Georgia, your municipal elections are in odd numbered years.
Correct.
Like
correct.
Last year.
Yes.
And this one's the one where we got the governor, lieutenant governor, all the constitutional officers, and then a lot of county offices too. And so it's not often the case that they have things at the same time as you.
That is correct.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So talk about what, I guess, at least the taxes is a kind of property taxes being a once a year thing. Elections is not even an every year kind of thing. But like your day to day, what do you do day to day? Just so people kind of get an idea. Or maybe I should ask this, the variety of things you have to do day to day would be the better way to put it.
I get a variety of phone calls.
I'm sure. And you feel free to tell any story you want about some of the nature of those phone calls.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Well, it's almost like an information station for the area.
Yes, you're the switchboard operator for all the actual happenings and information. Yep.
Yes, so anything that anyone wants to know, they'll call City Hall, and I try to help them or direct them to the person that can help them. But a good majority of the time, it's not really something that we handle in the city.
Yeah.
A lot of times, they will actually live in Waco but be outside of the city limits. So some of the questions they have will fall under the county's jurisdiction and not ours. You know, we handle all the utilities. We have a sewer treatment plant. And we do water bills that have water, sewer, and trash pickup. So we get a lot of calls about that. We do all the billing for that, meter readings, and things like that. So, you know, a lot of times we'll have some of our citizens call and say they saw water leaking from somewhere, which is very helpful to us.
There's water going down the road and it's not raining.
Exactly.
You should know. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Those are actually helpful calls. So
If
you see water running down, you don't know its source and it's not raining, please call your local utility,
Someone.
Which is usually your municipality.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. What are some, just out of curiosity, whatever comes to mind here, what are some of the either, I don't know, we can go to a couple different categories on this.
Okay.
Calls you get most frequently that you actually, the city is not responsible for at all.
Okay. Well, some of the most frequent calls will be, I got a ticket in Waco and I need to talk to someone about my ticket that I received. And actually, Harrelson County covers our area.
Yeah.
Or
you don't have your own police department.
We do not have our own.
And that's common with towns your size. You let the sheriff take care of it and has total jurisdiction and make sure to do the patrols and everything like that, which means if you get a ticket, that's Harrelson County.
And Georgia State Patrol patrols our area a lot because we are right here at the interstate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do have a lot of traffic through Waco.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's kind of almost like a cut through area, honestly.
You're a bypass.
Yes.
And every once in a while they stop and swing on those swings out in front of City Hall, right?
Exactly.
What was I was just curious about that one since I mentioned it twice now. What,
sure.
What's how you know how long those have been there? I've never seen that before. Just it was a row of porch swings hanging on the yard.
Where City Hall is located now used to be an old schoolhouse.
Okay.
And it housed grades, you know, 1 through 12.
Yeah.
So the whole gambit.
Yeah.
And we have a community center.
Right. It's all the community center right next door. Mm-hmm.
And that was the cafeteria.
Oh, fun.
So it's super convenient right in town, but also the community center we rent out to the citizens for birthday parties and things like that.
Just any kind of gathering, church, family. Yep.
They, you know, that is something that's very well used.
Good.
People seem to enjoy it. And they like when they come into City Hall, we have a lot of old pictures and things for people to look at. And so that's nice. And we also have a fantastic park down below City Hall that I think a lot of people don't know about, but we have a walking track. Mm-hmm. And we have basketball court, tennis courts, and just like a gymboree thing for the kids to play on. And we have more swings.
Yep.
So I have a couple of grills for people to grill out, a little pavilion. So it's a nice area, especially for families to come and, you know, spend the day.
I actually heard this when I was talking to the ladies at the chamber. They said to make sure to ask about this in Waco. They said, no. And when I passed through, I noticed there was a small post office.
Mm-hmm.
And that apparently at one time, there was some talk of closing down the post office. Now, obviously, that has nothing to do with the city because the Postal Service is a federal agency. But apparently, there was a real protest to keep the post office.
Yes.
And they maintained it. So it's still there and still active.
Yes.
So tell us about I don't even know how long ago that was. That's
well, the post, it was a few years ago they talked about closing it. And, of course, we support the post office. That's where we do all of our mailings and utility bills and things like that.
It's not far from City Hall. Walking distance on a pleasant day. Yeah,
yes.
Right.
So it's super convenient. And I think that she really does a lot of business there. We have a business in town. They have an online site where they sell antiques and things like that. And
so they do a lot of their fulfillment through the Postal Service.
They walk right across to fulfill at the Postal Center, and that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So it was an outcry. I think did they have some kind of hearing, or did people just kind of get motivated to contact?
I think the local people contacted whoever they needed to.
Man, got proactive about
it. Yeah, helped it stay open. So.
Okay.
And I hope they continue.
Yeah. So it didn't, did they end up reducing the hours a little bit, but maintained the post office?
I don't think so.
Oh, kept it fully open?
I believe so.
Man, I'll tell you what. Okay. Now, I've heard plenty of communities and some in the unincorporated areas where there's a different zip code, but it's not necessarily a registered
post office
municipality or anything. Mm-hmm. That's fun. They made sure, hey, look, we don't want to have to go. What's the next closest post office?
Probably Bremen.
Okay. And that's just too far away.
It is too far.
How far is it from Waco to Bremen?
Maybe 5 miles.
5 miles. Yeah. You can't walk to the post office five miles away. It's
true.
Not as practical. So you want to keep
that's
that
true.
Open. That's fun. What else would you want people to know about the duties of the city clerk?
This
is the chance for people to know. You are representing all of the city clerks in the entire state of Georgia, so I wanted to make sure you gave...
They may not appreciate that.
I'm sure they'll be fine with it.
Because I'm sure they do totally different things than I do.
Everybody
in my position.
Does, and that's so funny, because it's just like I've said before on the podcast, every city charter is different, so I have to ask every person, like I should ask you now, how many council members are there in Waco?
We have the mayor and 4 council members.
Okay, are they at large? Or they have districts. I imagine at large.
It's at large.
It's,
yes.
It's a smaller town. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to do districts, because if somebody out of this neighborhood of 50 people doesn't want to run, then you're absent a member. So at large is more common with the smaller communities. That's funny. So yeah, I have to ask that every time, and I figure people are saying, "This guy was a mayor. What in the world? He doesn't know how many council members there are on a Well, every city's different, so yeah, just like the same way, every position of city clerk is going to be very different. So yeah, but in general, what would you want people to know about the work of the city clerk?
We actually pay all the city bills, do all of the accounting, and then collect all of the revenue from the franchise fees to people coming in to pay their taxes, people coming in to pay their water bills, renting the community center, anything that has to do with the city as far as money management. Of course, we do have a CPA and an auditor that we work with.
You got to have an audit. It's got to be someone other than you that
exactly.
comes in the audit. Absolutely.
Exactly. So all the bookkeeping, you know, the accounting part of it, it is a big part of it. You have to be accountable for every penny that comes through City Hall. So yeah. That's a big part of it.
And I don't think I asked this when we started talking. How many years have you been the city clerk now?
I have been there longer than I thought, actually. Close to 6 years.
Okay.
So.
And no signs of stopping, or do you...
We never know.
But yes. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Enjoy it. I'm sure it's got its stresses, but for the most part, enjoy it and being a part of the local government. So
I enjoy the people. You know, we have the regular people that come in to pay their bills that I see fairly often, at least, you know, every month and everything, and they're super nice.
You probably stay very well informed about all the happenings around Waco.
I do. Because more than you would imagine.
Everybody has a trash bill, water bill, and a sewer bill, and they got to come see you about it. I guess they can send it the mail or do some over the phone, but probably for the most part in a small town, they want to come in and say hey and let you know the juicy gossip on, you know, whoever's
what's
down the street
on
or whatever.
Their side
that's
of
right.
Town.
That's right. Yes. That's right. So, yeah, you're probably very, very well informed.
Right.
Whether the information's accurate or not is for someone else to judge.
Exactly.
I'm sure you get a lot of information, whether it's good or not. I definitely want to talk some more and get to hear about some of the activities and some of the things going on in Waco. But before we get to that, I got four questions I want to ask you. This is going to help us get to know you. It's going to be fun. So, first question, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
Not really. Kim would be my nickname,
I guess, and
that's what a lot of people call me.
So nothing, no other nicknames. Growing up, high school, college.
Little Kim. In high school, that was, yes.
Okay, Little Kim.
That's the worst.
Okay. All right, next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, I do not sing.
That's okay. That's not the point of karaoke. It's not about keep holding the tune. You don't even have to know the words. It's right there in front of you. But we're at a karaoke bar. You're the next one in line. You get to pick whatever song you're going to sing.
I could not even say. I have children that can sing. I like the older country, like Patsy Cline, Loretta Lynn, something like that,
I would say. Which one of their songs would you sing?
I have no idea. I would... honestly, never sing any of them. It would be too much.
All right, which one would one of your kids to sing? You get to pick it, since you say they sing better. I'll let you off the hook for that one. You just got to name either. Would you say Patsy Cline song?
I don't know. I really don't. Whatever they would want to sing, I would be good with.
You give them a choice.
I would give them the choice.
All right, next question is much easier, I promise.
Oh, good.
What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
We eat a lot of chicken because it's supposed to be healthy.
Yeah.
So I would say probably some kind of grilled chicken.
Grilled chicken.
Yes.
Okay. Grilled chicken. That seems to be popular around here.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Final question.
Okay.
It is a music question, but don't worry. It's not a song you sing karaoke. If you could attend any concert of any singer, duo, band, any performer of any kind, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
Okay.
You've already named two singers, so I figure one of them.
I know. Well, you know what's bad is probably neither one of them.
Okay.
Queen. Yes.
Okay. I think that's the first time I've gotten Queen as an answer.
Really?
All right. Well, thanks for letting us get to know you.
Sure.
On our past episodes in Harrelson County, we stopped in at the Greater Harrelson Chamber and spoke to Tara Chapman and Elizabeth Langley about the business communities in the small towns of Harrelson County, as well as the resiliency of those businesses. Today, we're going to talk with the third member of the Chamber team, and we discuss some of the economic shifts that have happened recently and what that means for future business development in this growing area.
Hello, I'm Eric McDonald, the President and CEO of the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. I've been here 8 years in this position, but I've lived here most of my life.
Well, hey, Eric, and I just want to, as we start, I just want to thank you again for sponsoring the Small Towns of Harrelson County episodes we're doing now, and thanks for being such a good host on my visits up here to your communities.
Well, we are so glad that you were here. So, you know, it's the best place on earth, so we're glad that you had a chance to experience it.
Nobody else ever says that about
their own.
I do want to ask you, though, because as the economic developer and that being a focus of kind of your industry recruiting, you and I have had a conversation, and you've kind of made some observations about the changes that have happened, very specifically in Harrelson County, and that's a good thing, but it kind of is a little more about rural counties in general and how the demand has shifted. You're getting a different kind of attention, and partly because of the pandemic, but something you said earlier about how we consume things, that's been more the shift, and that was interesting. So talk about that for a minute.
Well, you know, the pandemic changed the way that we consume items. The brick and mortar stores, while really important, you know, we learned to not go in there. We got used to.
We got told not to go.
Yeah, we got told, hey, you can't go in there. We got used to shopping on an app. and having stuff show up at our door 2 days later. And so now the markets are having to adjust to, how do I make sure that I can get whatever it is that consumers want? How can I get it to them in one and two days? So what we saw out in our area is just this giant push for logistics. So we're located on I-20. We're about an hour west of Atlanta. We like to say we're about an hour from a nonstop flight to almost anywhere in the world.
That's good. I like that tagline.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, we're also kind of in between Birmingham, Chattanooga, the ABC Triangle. But what we saw a lot of were companies looking to bring logistics centers outside of the 20-mile radius.
Yeah.
So one of the things that happened to us were, you know, before the pandemic, we were the developer of last resort. So the county had to take taxpayer money. We had to put that taxpayer money at risk. We had to develop the park. And then all of a sudden, it was like a light switch. All of a sudden, private developers and private money started looking at large pieces of land that were near the major corridors. And so we went from, you know, that developer of last resort to, how do we help get these companies into our community? How do we help these private developers put their product on the ground? And so now you're starting to see these large developers come in, a million, million and a half square feet. And it's just really changing the way that we do economic development.
Yeah.
You know, now it's not so much a focus on the product. I mean, while it's still important, you got to have it, but these guys are taking care of it. Now we got to find the people.
Yeah. Yeah. The workforce development piece.
Yeah. So, you know, it's great to build a big building, but if nobody can come to work, then you can't make that. You know, you can't make your widget. You can't get your widget out the door. So we've started trying to figure that piece out, whether it's in the high schools with a college and career academy, whether it's working to help retool the workforce. Right now, you can make $10.50 an hour shoving coffee out a window, which is, you know, fine if you're a high school kid. But, you know, you had people making a living trying to do that. Well, now we're working with a technical college to take that person and upwage them. So now, hey, let's figure out how to get you into the technical school. Let's figure out how to get you into a credit program, non-credit program. How can we get you from $10.50 an hour, which isn't really a living wage, to a job that's paying $15, $20 an hour? Maybe it's your time. So we're working real closely with a technical college to, you know, take folks in their skill levels. And that's what employers need. You know, used to, you build it, they will come. I think for 10 years, that is not the case. And in a employment market, when you're less than 2.5% unemployment, it is absolutely the number one question in everybody's mind.
Yeah. Now, I know there's instances, and there's probably some instances that you don't have to tell me about from Harrelson County, where there's maybe some territorialism, a little bit of rivalry.
No. Sky's always blue. The grass is always green.
Good Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But the importance of collaboration, especially in rural communities, is just never been greater. So talk about how that's working in Harrelson County. You got 4 incorporated municipalities. One of them, I believe, actually bleeds over into the next county.
They do, yes.
So, there's all kinds of things.
The county we shall not say their name.
That's right. That's right. but talk about the importance of collaboration and how that's been working in Harrelson County.
So, you know, economic development's a team sport. And if you can't work together, you really can't get things done, because, you know, companies, labor, capital, they don't care about your political boundaries.
Right. Yeah.
They just need to come.
They're not looking at your
community. They need you to work.
Right.
You know, and get things done. So we've spent a good bit of time making sure that everybody understands the process, that everybody has kind of an understanding and a willingness to move things forward. And then we've tried to figure out, how do we empower each of the different cities? Because each of the cities have their own personality.
Sure.
And so each of the cities wants something a little different. So, and we have to learn what that is, because one city may not want to have a processing plant that does, you know, some sort of food processing, where one of the other cities might be happy to have that, just for different reasons.
Sure.
So we actually have meetings about once a quarter where we bring all of the chief elected officials over to the chamber, and we put them in a room and we say, here's kind of what's going on. How can we work on this big product or project together? How can we work on this problem? What are the things that we can bring to the table with each of our unique abilities and strengths and weaknesses? How do we like to say, how do we put all our cards on the table and have the best poker hand possible? You know, we'll pick the best 5 cards.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what we try to do. You know, we don't always get it right. Politics is a funny thing. Cities have egos, believe it or not. And so working through some of those, but, you know, that's just the challenge of the job. And that's what it takes to be a successful community. And if it wasn't worth fighting for, why would you even want to do it? So we spend a lot of time trying to make sure that everybody at least understands the process, is engaged and informed, and then we just move from there.
It sounds like, and I've even been able to witness just traveling around on my visit, there's some level of success, there's some level of momentum building. To me, anyway, it's not just, obviously everyone's going to say, oh yeah, we've got these great things going on, but I've actually been able to see some of it in action, see some of the new businesses go and see some of the collaboration. And I actually just want to touch on something and give you a chance to kind of do a little promo here for your community. You mentioned logistics, and that's kind of a nice trend because of some big macro trends in consumer behavior. But then also what you just said about the different cities and maybe even parts of unincorporated Harrelson County that may be better for certain industries or prefer different industries.
Oh, sure.
So you've got some diversification of what you want and where. So what are some things that maybe you're keeping an eye out, or some people in certain industries? You don't have to name the companies if they're.
Oh, yeah.
But what's making sense for Harrelson County? What are you looking for? What might be happening in the next few years?
We've had some success in the metal space, whether it's welding, whether it's fabrication, whether it's wholesale. So we're in that metal space. We're starting to get a lot of attention. And with that comes, now we're seeing some workforce come in.
Yeah.
And then once the workforce comes in, right, in that industry, they might shift around a little bit.
Sure.
So that space.
Well, that actually makes it more inviting. It's why car dealerships all want to be in the same place, because everyone's already going there. So same thing with industry. If you've got the workforce, someone's more likely to put the company there because, they're going to steal a couple guys away.
Well, they take from each other, and it just kind of goes back and forth.
But also, you're dealing with your technical college that you already mentioned. Now that program's going to have people come out and have more job stability, because there's this I guess it's a snowball effect kind of thing.
Well, it builds it is. On it itself. Also gets the programs are coming into place. We're getting a 40-bay welding building over at the technical college and at the Waco campus.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to put out welders that can do things from any of the different welding techniques. I'm not smart enough to know any of that. So we're getting that. Logistics, of course, we've already mentioned. Manufacturing is picking up out here. And interestingly enough, tech. We're starting to see that people come out here, when you could work from home. Well, you've got two school systems in this community. You've got one, a county school system that 8 years ago, we should mention this, had a 56% graduation rate. And I say that because their graduation last year was 98%.
Wow.
So to take a school system and go from mid-50s, almost half the kids didn't come out with a diploma, to almost every kid comes out with a diploma. That says a lot about that school board and the leadership.
Yeah.
And then we have Bremen City Schools, which, depending on what measure you use, is in the top five amongst all school systems in the state of Georgia, depending on what test they're using that year.
Yeah.
So you've got really excellent education opportunities. So people are coming out here and they're buying houses and they're working from home. So the boutiques are coming. It's just this kind of wonderful ecosystem of jobs and opportunity and places to eat. And the great thing about living here for us, I've lived here almost my whole life, is as these folks come in, they bring their ideas, but they also bring that opportunity for me to have a better place to eat lunch. So really, it's all about my ability to eat a good lunch. And, that's really, at the end of the day, if I can have a great sandwich, I can go home happy.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. Simple pleasures.
Simple pleasures.
Well, Eric, on that note, I say we go eat lunch.
Hey, let's go. Thanks for coming to visit, by the way. We have enjoyed having you here.
I have enjoyed it here. I will definitely be back. I've really enjoyed all of your small towns and getting to visit all the places in between. It's a great place to be. So I'll endorse it myself and tell everyone they should come check out all the small towns of Harrelson County.
Yeah, exit 11, exit 9, exit 5 on I-20. Come on down.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Hey, thank you.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment and recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines. so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right. I definitely want to talk more about Waco. And I should have asked this. What's the population roughly of Waco?
The 2020 census said around 533.
Okay. All right. So a little over 500. Very small town. I guess I should just ask you, like you actually said you had a little bit of history about it. Like it was called a couple different things.
Yes.
So what were some of the names when it was started?
The original name was Dean.
Dean, like D-E-A-N?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe it was for
probably someone's name, yeah.
Local blacksmith.
Okay.
And then it was Wacoville.
Wacoville. Okay, that's yes. Closer. We got closer.
Yes. And then Waco.
Okay. All right. Went through three different name changes.
It was chartered in 1885.
Okay. Okay. Like I said, I kind of asked you before about what you liked about it. You like the people. You like the feel of it. But what are some of the activities or what are some of the things that if someone came to visit, what they would get to enjoy in Waco? Or maybe there's a certain time of year or activities sure. that go on.
Well, we have Waco Fest in September, I would say. Okay. That's our biggest draw to the area. We really have a tremendous turnout for Waco Fest. And we usually have a parade and two or three of the local high school bands march. We're a very neutral area in Waco, so we have participation from all over the county.
And what do you mean neutral?
Since it's such a small town, it seems like Waco gets along with everyone.
Okay, okay. Okay. So you're talking about like when you said that about the bands, so there's like a kind of a, I guess, a crosstown
yes.
rivalry, and
yes.
you're Switzerland.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So people from both high schools will come and celebrate.
Yes.
Okay.
Waco. And even one in Carroll County comes.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay. You even pulled people across the county line.
Exactly.
You're doing good. So what would you do at Waco Fest? I assume there's like vendors, food, that kind of
we
thing.
We have but vendors, tons of food. And we have kids games at the park, I think, which is a little bit different from maybe some of the other festivals. We have free kids games and inflatables and things that the family can bring the kids to, and they can do it for free, and they get little prizes, and the city pays for all of that.
Okay, cool. Cool. Mm-hmm. And going back to kind of the, I guess, the history or things you'd want people to know about Waco, I think you get some notes because there's a lot of little interesting things. So tell us things you'd want to make sure people knew about Waco, interesting through history.
Sure. There was a Camp Waco that was an outpost for Fort McPherson, and it was here in the late 1800s until around 1940, and it was a riflery group that... They had the outpost because of some of the sicknesses and things that were going on in the area. So I've heard stories when the main road was not even paved yet, it was still a dirt road, of the troops practicing marching up and down the road.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting that it was an outpost for several wars.
Yeah.
So that was just in this area where we are now at the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there was a large hotel in Waco that was from the 1800s also. We actually have a memorial park for the emergency responders from a dynamite blast incident that happened in Waco in 1971. There were six people who died as a result of the dynamite blast, and four were first responders. And there was a lot of damage from that blast to the area of Waco. And one of the places that was damaged was the late 1800s two-story hotel that was in Waco. And it actually was damaged to the point that they did not reopen. I believe it closed in 1972.
Oh, wow. Now, what was the source of the dynamite? Is it not a mining town?
No, it was actually a dynamite truck that traveling on Highway 78 and collided with another vehicle.
Oh,
and
wow.
That caused the blast was a little bit delayed. I believe there was blasting caps possibly on the truck also. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an immediate detonation. It was a delayed detonation, so the emergency responders had come to the area to help the people who were in the accident, and it was big news for this area, a great loss for this area.
Yeah, because, I mean, just the loss of life from your first responders.
Right.
And then you said that that hotel had been there since the 1880s, you said?
Late 1800s,
Late 1800s.
Okay. And most all of the emergency responders were actually also volunteer responders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
From this area.
Sure. Yeah, small town. That's where most of them come from. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Kimberly, as we kind of wrap things up a little bit, I want to give you the same opportunity I give all my guests on the podcast and speak directly to our small town podcast audience and tell them why they should come pay a visit to, or maybe, like you did, come find a house, move to, and raise a family in Waco, Georgia.
I think Waco is a great place to raise a family. It's a small town community where you will know your neighbors and you're convenient to wherever else you might want to go and have experiences outside of the area. But you can always come back home to the peace and quiet of a small town like the city of Waco.
Kimberly Edwards, thank you for your perspective as a city clerk, but also thanks for telling us about Waco, Georgia, and joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for having me.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Kimberly Edwards, especially on her day off, for talking with me. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority, and the Greater Harrelson Chamber. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.